If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, your source for snarky reality TV recaps from all the networks across the board. No one is off limits as I dissect even the tiniest details of our favorite train wrecks. Be sure to follow up between episodes on Twitter and Instagram at Reality TV Pod. Snark with me and fellow listeners on Facebook in the Reality TV Podcast Orchard of Snark group. And for nitty gritty, unfiltered me, check out bonus episodes at patreon.com/realitytvpod. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Well, look what the mommy issues rolled in this week on Married at First Sight. What the hell happened? I started out all geeked up last night because I got Barefoot Sauvignon Blanc for only $3.99 a bottle, and the Married at First Sight couples were in Jamaica. I'm thinking perhaps the same resort Melanie and DeVar from 90 Day Fiancé met at. What could go wrong on a Wednesday night like this, right? Well, Tropical Storm Jeffy had a roll in, and all hell broke loose. Let's start at the beginning. This is like a Real Housewives episode where they start with that chyron on the screen that says 2 days earlier. On day two of the honeymoon, Molly and John awake together. They're looking at their amazing view from the room. It was pretty spectacular. And Molly uses the word surreal to describe her feelings. It's a word the Duggar family uses to describe every wedding they have. Which, by the way, one of the apples in the orchard alerted us to that the next Dougley brother is in line to get married. He's courting some girl now. Ugh, peace be with you. Surreal is probably a better place to be for Molly than realizing my husband is a douche. For some reason, a camera person is recording the two of them in bed using their own couple cam. What? This is the same thing that Max does on Catfish that makes me want to throw my empty wine box at the TV. Stop it. We're morons for watching the show season after season, but we know how a camera works, for Christ's sake. Now, despite him laughing like my seventh grade niece, Molly is finding herself more and more attracted to John. She's taking it slow with him. She's not quite comfortable enough to be super intimate with him, but she's willing to start stepping outside her comfort zone. Like having two Jamaican women in the same room with them and one of them touching John for her so she doesn't have to. Molly is winning me over in this scene because I'm starting to think she herself is my soulmate. Those of you who know me and have watched my YouTube confession on my first massage experience, also on my honeymoon, you know I am not down for a naked massage. Also, like Molly, I am a proud, almost never nude. I gave birth 4 times with no less than 3 layers on. That is an absolute fact. Unlike Molly, I am not a size 2. If I had her body and airflow under my boobs and between my thighs like her, I'd be naked on The Amazing Race, and my theme song would be Queen's Don't Stop Me Now. The massage ended up going fine, and the massage therapist seemed like good sports with them. I actually really wanted to hang out with these women. And I have to tell you, I have a face that people just want to tell me things, and randoms like this are my favorite. I mean, just last week, I had the 800 number CVS person start telling me about her love of true crime TV shows and issues that she has with her daughter. I just needed a refill. But you know what? We're friends now, and I'd like to think those Jamaican women massage therapists are my friends too. Now, you know who else needs a friend to touch his wiener? John. Because he's getting impatient and it's starting to show. He says he's okay with taking it slow with Molly and that he wants to get to know her and he can see himself falling for her. But I don't get a sincere vibe from him. Now, what have we learned about John to lead me to this conclusion? First, he's allergic to hazelnuts, and just FYI, there is a treatment for that. My kids have done it. It's called OIT, oral immunotherapy. Look it up. Two kids have done it. It's amazing. Feel free to ask me questions. Second, he wants people to know he's done fun things and big trips by himself. I'm a big boy now. But this is like great because like he has someone to like share it with and that's like the best. Now, when Molly and John get the letter that they're going to be having lunch with the other couples and that they're already there, John goes into hyper mode. This is the real John I'm suspecting. The John that has to be the center of attention. He's even given them a nickname, Team Mojo. Ugh, stop. He's probably already set up their joint email and Facebook account so they can share everything. Like, what's next? The love toilet from SNL? And he says jokingly, "We have to win at marriage. You're going to learn to love me. It's fine." Oh boy. No one defaults to that comment, "You're going to learn to love me. It's fine." Unless they know from experience that they've had to have people grow on them in order to like them. Well, let's catch up on the other couples before this big lunch. Jackie turns up in this adorable bikini. I love her body. She's fit, but she's not super skinny. She's rocking these little low-rider bottoms. The cut of the top was a little interesting. It's something I could never pull off, but she looked great. Ryan's planned something special for Jackie, something she's wanted to do her whole life, swim with dolphins. My ears started hearing tuning forks at right about this point because there are few things that terrify me more than even the thought of swimming with dolphins. Like, I'm cringing right now. It would have to be an extreme amount of money or change in this presidency for me to get in a body of water with any creature with a fin or gill. After seeing the bottom of a dolphin tank at the zoo as a kid and how deep it was and how filthy it was down there, like, this would be my fear factor episode. Scuba, snorkeling, never, unless my kids' lives depended on it. I mean, and not to mention seeing blackfish. If you haven't seen that documentary, prepare yourself. I mean, I Jeffy my way around the aquarium now because of that movie. One crack in that glass because some snotty kid is banging too hard on it and we're all walrus chum. Now, I think even Jackie was a little scared because I saw the way she was side-eyeing those dolphins and refusing their kisses. After the annoying brush with death, they head down to the beach to hang out. They sit down, and then he does it. Ryan pulls out the deal with it shades. Those douchey, douchey sunglasses. I don't even care if they are a joke. I'm not in on it, so I am going to judge you. He's obviously wearing them for attention, and that's a turnoff. Those glasses are what my husband and I refer to as ns, ns. For example, there's something maybe a guy from a Persian country or Eastern European country would wear, like to club to make ladies see me, you know, like ns, ns. And he works at a car dealership as a manager and unbuttons his shirt just one button too much. He thinks he's hot shit. You know what I mean. Now, this fun romantic day cannot get any better, right? Jackie stands up and starts playing this sand spelling game. She's making Ryan guess what she wrote in the sand. and he could not have been more disinterested or dismissive. Although I agree with him that this game seems super boring, and, you know, I don't want to be having a spelling pretest on vacation. You know what? She's playing around. Just go with it. You could see the hurt in Jackie's face, and I felt bad for her. And I think she's starting to see that although Ryan makes it seem like he's all adoring his wife, it's really only to make himself feel good. As Jackie alludes to later, I hope she isn't afraid to tell Ryan how she feels about these displays of emotion and, how do I want to call it, like a ploy for attention. Now, off to catch up with Shaunice and Jeffy. John and Molly had massages, Ryan and Jackie had dolphins, and now Jeffy and Shaunice are going to climb the waterfalls. Shaunice looked super cute in her little rose headband thing. I like how she switches her look up. I think she's adorable in the interviews when she had her hair half up in that pink tank top. And although she still feels like Jeffy doesn't know her yet, she's decided to remain optimistic, and she's just going to keep trying and keep trying to get to know Jeffy. You know, because she signed up for this and she's acting like an adult. Jeffy is, well, I'm going to be honest with you. Jeffy is acting like me all the way down those steps. Sometimes seeing yourself with your own two eyes is what you need to make big step towards personal growth, and I'm going to do my best. Jeffy is super cautious, and he's calling to her to hold on to the rail. He's taking visual notes of all the caution signs. Like, God, this is so me, I can't even tell you. There is not a trip to the zoo, and now I'm feeling like I'm saying this out loud, and this has probably been the fourth or fifth time I've brought up the zoo or the aquarium in the past couple days. Maybe it's I'm just afraid of the zoo. I never thought about that. Okay, maybe I'm afraid of the zoo. But for real, I'm like Jeffy. I'm afraid my kids are going to fall into that gorilla pit. I'm afraid my mom is going to fall off a cruise ship one day on one of her senior citizen trips. I leave fingerprints wherever I go in case I go missing and they need traces of my DNA or my fingerprints. But I agree, Jeffy sounds like a whiny turd. Hence, that's my resolution for this year, personal growth, take it down a notch. Now, once they actually get to the falls, Shaunice takes it off, shows off her strappy little swimsuit. Get it, girl. Those straps on me would have been swallowed by my torso. So bravo to you for having the guts to show off what you got. And damn, Shaunice really is giving it all she's got. She's going in for little hugs. She gave him a little peck. She's clearly trying. That's more than we can say for Jeffy. He's caught up in this never-ending cycle of, I can see myself opening up to her, but baby steps. This will get easier with time, but not yet. This is the time when I start to think he just did the show for money. Which, speaking of, I have receipts of the reimbursement portion of the Married at First Sight contract that I'm going to be sharing on Patreon. Little teaser for you. Now let's talk about this couple's lunch. Molly and John are the first there, and then they see the delegates from the Olympic team from Jamaica walking towards them. Shaunice and Jeffy are decked out in every damn item from that gift shop that had the Jamaican flag on it. I was just waiting for Michael Abraham from Teen Mom to pop out behind them with his red striped t-shirt. And John introduces Molly as his wife and then says, I marked her so you can't take her. You guys, this is straight out of an episode from The Office. Remember A Benihana Christmas? John also tries to make a joke about Molly giving him sympathy laughs. Again, something he must have experience with to point it out. I mean, hello, I am the spokesperson for self-deprecating humor. I know when I see it. I'm not just the president, I'm also a client. Jeffy gets very shifty and nervous, but then he reciprocates the greeting by introducing Shaunice as his wife. Shaunice thinks John is cute, and I knew in that moment that my first gut instinct of Shaunice a couple weeks ago was that she needed an older, confident, more controlling kind of guy, and I think I was right. I think that is why she was drawn to John. It was also interesting to note the increase in physical affection and bids for touching John was putting out there towards Molly. Did you notice that? He was like pulling her in more. He kissed her neck at one point. He was giving little arm noogies. Like I said before, he's like a junior in high school who's lost some weight, finally gotten enough confidence to flirt with the varsity girls for the first time. A few minutes later, Ryan and Jackie walk up holding hands. Both Shaunice and Molly have that feminine intuition that these two have a connection with one another that the other couples don't have yet. Before they start a paddleboarding lesson, they get a chance to hang out and talk about the experiment so far. Ryan becomes the facilitator of the conversation, and he asks everyone why they decided to do this. Jeff D mumbles, "The dating thing wasn't fun. I never connected with anyone." Shocking. Then the conversation leads to compatibility and why they think the experts match them. Molly thinks she and John are like the same person. Okay, what the fuck is she talking about? And she also says it can be frustrating because John always has an energy level on 10. Then John tries to make a joke about his old ball and chain, saying, "Oh yeah, she's giving me a look like, go away." Even Ryan rolled his eyes and took a drink. If you didn't see it, it is worth a second watch because Ryan so clearly sees through John. If he can see through smoke in a fire as a firefighter, trust me, Ryan can see through John's insecure douchebaggery complex. Okay, here we go. Shaunice mentions that she's more outgoing and bubbly than Jeff D. To which her husband, who signed up to do the show, says, "I agree, I'm not bubbly, and no one's gonna make me do what I don't want to do." Jesus, want to unpack your emotional baggage while you're here in Jamaica, or you just gonna keep that in your carry-on? Like, on a serious note, does he need some antidepressants or something? I'm really not trying to make light of it. It's just his emotional swings are so drastic and so sudden, it's crazy. Now, I swear it's DeVar's brother from 90 Day Fiancé that walks up and invites them to head down to the beach for paddleboarding. If the glasses weren't enough, Ryan has to attract even more attention to himself by wearing those damn floaties. If this were a spontaneous thing, like he just found them, I think it would be funny, okay? But it was so premeditated that I'm just cringing even thinking about it. And I think Jackie was kind of embarrassed too. Now, you know who does think this is funny? John. He thinks he's cracking a joke when he responds, but it's really just a sentence. John says, "Those definitely wouldn't have saved his life out there." Just because you laugh at your own joke, it doesn't make it funny, John. I almost wish I were single, 10 years younger, okay, and a Boston native, and I would have been matched with him for the show just so I could have kicked him in the nuts in that moment. A little while later, John attempts to do a headstand on the paddleboard because, of course, and then he thinks Molly is inviting him into her vagina, basically, when she asked him to stand on her board with her. You know, because she said she doesn't like touching. It was great. Wow. Okay. I'm gonna say John has blown it in bars a time or dozen because he misreads signals from girls like "no thanks" to mean she said thanks for my number. Now, where are Shaunice and Jeff D, you say? Well, Shaunice was near drowning because she stepped on something, and now she's bleeding out on shore. Is Jeff D gonna help? You know, the elementary school teacher with the big heart the guy with all the younger brothers who he's a mentor to? Oh, hell no. He's not going to help. In his words, that's her consequence. I told her not to do it. Who in their right mind can see someone hurting, whether you're sleeping with them or not, and you're just going to say, oh, screw you, not my problem? I'm starting to think Jeffy has not only intimacy issues, but also just a lack of social consciousness, just zero empathy. Later on the beach, the couples are talking about who has had sex yet. Oh, the S-bomb. Okay, good one, stupid John. Ryan denies it, which I thought was sweet, until he went into this grand, elaborate speech about it. It was a little concerning to me how quickly and easily he went on and on and on about how it's better to abstain. Like, what else is he good at bending the truth about? Well, Molly is relieved to hear she isn't the only one holding out. And I think Shaunice was feeling better too, until they got back to their rooms. While Molly and John are doing their stupid homework questions and talking about Molly's fart habits, Jackie and Ryan are talking about they're crunching too loud when they eat. You so silly, me too. And Ryan admits he can't talk too much, and Jackie looked relieved to know that. At least he realizes it. I get the feeling, like Jackie, that Ryan can be a really good talker, but sometimes that can be a red flag if someone always has an answer for something. Now, Jackie opens up about her boyfriend who passed away a year ago, and there's really nothing to find fault with here. I don't think it could have gone any better. I'm still a huge fan of Jackie's. However, the tone and mood in Shaunice and Jeffy's suite is quite the polar opposite. It starts innocently enough with answering the expert's homework questions. Shaunice says her greatest flaw is shutting down and not dealing with problems. She'll just move on, put it away. Jeffy says he can be stubborn, and if he can't have his way and he doesn't have to compromise, then that's it. Fine, he'll just do things his own way. Okay. And then, without skipping a beat, we start Jeffy's Stranger Danger speech. I'm starting to wonder if he needs a copy of my favorite cassette tape by a little group called the Safety Kids. Songs to keep your body and mind safe for kids growing up in the 80s. Yet again, Jeffy reminds Shaunice that she's a stranger, and good touch, bad touch. Shaunice is bad touching Jeffy's brain by asking him a question. I mean, Jeffy is acting like Shaunice is calling all his family and friends and climbing into a suitcase like Taylor Armstrong. Just as I had predicted, Shaunice says, I wanted a husband so I can follow his lead. He only wants to baby step. Ding, ding, ding. I knew it. She wanted a more dominant person because she's tired of being the one to take care of people. And, you know, she just wants to be wanted. Now, I know I wasn't the only one screaming at the TV when Jeffy kept saying he feels pressure to move faster than he wants to move. He wants to be friends first, then see if there's more. And although I think this whole premise of Married at First Sight and this show is not proving to be a success in matching people, I agree with Shaunice. They came here to be committed to a spouse, not to meet a friend. In this moment, they are married. Now, it was all happening so fast in this conversation, and all at once, they were in a good place, and Jeffy was smiling and laughing, and he goes to give Shaunice a high five, and she says no in this flirty, playful way, and the dude snaps. His mood swing again was so drastic and sudden. There is something deeper going on here. He snaps, nah, don't touch me. Chill out. You got me mad. Seriously? Are you five? You just throw a temper tantrum when you hear something that triggers you? Hey, Jeffy, what would you say to one of your students if he acted this way? Probably tell him to pull it together, right? Now, the argument goes even further because not only can Jeff D. not let go of this she's a stranger BS, but he is defiant that he isn't shutting her out. It makes no sense. The only explanation for this childish behavior is that he is immature, selfish, and lacks empathy. That's it. He sees Shaunice sobbing on the balcony, and he asks if she's all right. As anyone would, she responds, no, she's not all right. She's just trying to leave him alone, give him space. But yeah, fuck yeah, she's in a bad space too. Well, Jeff Majesty is offended by Shaunice cursing. So now he's just adding this to his list of reasons why Shaunice is a bad, bad stranger. She tries one last time to just explain that she's feeling hurt because she wants to start feeling and acting like a married couple, you know, because they went on this show and they said they wanted to be married, and it just hurts her feelings that he just wants to keep taking these baby steps. Well, now you're telling Jeff D. how to feel. So now he's even more pissed. No matter what Shaunice says or does or tries to be or do, Jeff D.'s mad. And I think it's pretty damn clear to everyone. It's because he's just not that into her. All right, a few things before we wrap up. First, like I said, I'm going to be spilling some hard apple cider to those of you on Patreon because I have a copy of the contract that the couple had to sign with production. Not going to tell you how I got it, but it does include what their reimbursement is and the penalties. Second, this is a very, very important question that has been burning inside me since season one. And now I have a microphone to ask the masses. Are these couples full of shit? Like literally, physically full of shit? They just met and they've been together since the wedding night, right? I know I couldn't poop with a stranger outside the door. I mean, can you imagine how scared and constipated Jeff D is? There's no doubt in my mind that at least John has just been shitting all day. I mean, he's proud of it because he's a sociopath. But I mean, what do you do? I think I would have to sneak out of the room in the middle of the night and go down to the lobby restroom. I don't know. I need to know. Or at least, what do you think that they're doing to work around this? I'm shocked we haven't seen endless scenes of the teeth brushing scenes. So perhaps Married at First Sight producers maybe can replace that with some Dr. Pepper telling us how pooping brings a couple closer together, because you know she's got some theory on it. Okay, so really, honestly, that's a serious question. What do they do to work around this issue? Let me know what you would do or not do. That does it for Married at First Sight this week. Love After Lockup is on Friday, so keep an eye and ear out for that recap soon. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon. All of those links are in the show notes. Go straight home today. Don't talk to any strangers. And stay salty.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.